Hello, podcast listeners. Great to be back. So as most, if not all of you know, this podcast is called Quarantine Football with Nate and Ryan. However, with the hosts and creators off at college and doing so many other exciting things, I am returning as your guest host, and I'm going to make some adjustments for now, you know, to keep the podcast relevant and moving forward. I am Adam Pallant, and having read dozens, nay, hundreds of emails and fan letters, I am jumping back into the driver's seat. So with that said, I also am going to redirect and substitute a new name for this podcast. We are going to move forward as Talking to People, a QF podcast. That way it's new, but with a shout out to the roots of the podcast. If you have a better idea for a name, send me a note. Also, if you like what we are saying here and want to hear more, make sure to follow this podcast and share with others. Now, the focus of today's episode will be on internships and the job search for the sports entertainment industry. I came up with this idea as Ryan and a few of his friends and fraternity brothers were making their way through a maze of acquiring a college internship. They were asking me questions, and I thought it may be a worthwhile venture to talk about it with a few of my past coworkers and friends from my time in the sports entertainment industry. Now, back in the mid-90s through the early 2000s, I got my internship in minor league baseball, stayed there through 1999, and stayed in the industry where I spent a few more years in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, working for such teams as the Philadelphia Flyers, Sixers, the Philadelphia Wings Lacrosse, among others who were playing in the what was then the Philadelphia Spectrum and the First Union Center, now known as the Wells Fargo Center, or sorry, Wells Fargo Arena. My focus was group sales and special events. So I got out roughly a year or two before 9/11, just to put in perspective. So with that in mind, I would like to introduce my guest on the show today, John Fierco. Now, for a good introduction for John, I need to step back in time and paint a picture of a couple of 20-year-olds working in minor league baseball in Trenton, New Jersey. Our years together began in 1994. The team was the Trenton Thunder, who were at the time the AA affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. Most recently, they were the AA team for the Yankees. And I was an intern, and I was still attending Rowan University in New Jersey. And he was the director of ticket sales and then the director of stadium operations when I became director of group sales. We worked together for many years before he moved on to the Philadelphia 76ers. Since our days in Trenton, Philly, John has continued within the sports industry, working for such entities as the Lakewood, New Jersey Blue Claws, that's the Philadelphia Phillies single A minor league baseball team, and the East Coast Hockey League. He is now an account manager with SSEC, a company that creates strategic partnerships and marketing programs to top brands such as Topps, Dick's Sporting Goods, Adidas, and Nike, among many others. John, great to talk to you. How are you?
Adam, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. It's also, great to be able to reconnect again based on our time together back in the 90s and into a little bit of the early 2000s. But it's really good to see you, and thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Did you like that intro, that little stroll down memory lane?
Memories are good, yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. It helps.
It was fun. Great to see you. It was so nice. And now things have certainly changed, obviously, since you and I were starting out on that job search to get into the sports and entertainment industry, trying to get the jobs with the baseball team. So when you think back, and we'll start easy, what key steps did you take to find a job in minor league baseball? So let's start with, again, 94, completely different, but what steps did you take to find that job?
You know, back then, you really had to rely on the grassroots of networking, right? You had to either pick up the phone, write a letter, stop by and see somebody somewhere, workplace, meet them for dinner. So it was really a truly grassroots networking challenge. For me, getting into the Thunder, I found out I was working up in North Jersey for IBM just out of school. And I had a college friend tell me, hey, there's a baseball team that's going to be coming in, moving in to Trenton. He knew I liked sports. He knew I was looking for a change in career path. So I reached out to Tom McCarthy, who we both went to TCNJ together. And I remember playing softball intramurals against him and so forth. So I reached out to him with a phone call, and he replied back, sent the resume. And really what he did for me was put me in, if you want to say, a queue for the proper time of hiring, right? So got my resume into the right hands. And that's really what you want somebody to help you with if you're going to network through somebody and they're not the decision maker. If they can place your resume on their desk, and then that decision maker makes that decision. If they can influence, great. But really what you're trying to do is to get that interview through that networking process. And back then it was truly a grassroots challenge.
Absolutely. And you know, that's actually very similar to mine when I found out about the Trent Thunder, actually through the newspapers, when I saw that a team was coming, and I was following the articles and looking for whatever name popped out in an article. Who were they interviewing? Who were they talking about? What are the owners? What are the people involved in the team? And I came across a name in one article. His name was Gary Hilton. And It was him that actually, I put a letter together and I sent it to him. And I did my follow-up calls. Just like you said, the grassroots, you can't, you know. And I waited a certain period of time, must have been about a month, when I followed up again. Todd Pay, who was working for the Thunder time, answered. Gary Hilton had passed away, and I submitted a resume to him for consideration for an internship, and thankfully they brought me in, and I was able to impress Wayne Hodes, who was the GM at the time, and Todd enough that they said, all right, let's see if we can deal with them as an intern. And they brought me in at that. But you're absolutely, you said something very important about a resume. How important is it to have an updated resume at all times?
Yeah, it's almost ready, having it ready at hand. If you're a job seeker and you're now looking at the job boards, your resume should be adaptable to that job description, right? You may change your resume, change some words. I always tell young adults to maybe take some words that are in that job description and place them into your resume. Because the odds are the person who wrote that job description, the odds are they could be the hiring person too. So to have those buzzwords jump back out at them based on your resume and the job description can be very helpful in moving you along the line. But having your resume updated, ready to go, is very important so you don't lose time.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned earlier that your interns for your company, you've just gone through the process. So you've seen what they've done and what they've had to do and what they should and should not do. If you were starting out today and seeking to get an internship in the field, what would be your first steps? Now, again, knowing that grassroots is no longer the same grassroots, knowing today's industry and today's communications area, what would you do to get an internship?
Well, I'm going to do it a little bit different, whether I know this or not, but based on where I am, LinkedIn is great. Teamwork Online is really the database, the website to go to for job postings within the sports industry. You know, they have everything from your professional teams to your arena management, right? Some of them even have some kind of maybe development positions on there. But that's really where to go. That's your Bible, if you want to say, right? So if you're looking for a job, you go there. To me, I tell folks, even if freshman, sophomore year, I even tell my own daughter this, is to go in and look at the job descriptions, right? Get a feel for what's out there. Get a feel for maybe what you're passionate about, where to put your mindset, right? Because again, as I mentioned before, you may take your resume and kind of cue it or skew it toward what that job description is. So at least educate yourself on what jobs are out there. So that's the Bible. That's the place to go to, Teamwork Online. The second one, which I think is really good, is higheredjobs.com. So what that gives you the collegiate level, right? So that'll give you colleges throughout the U.S. It'll give you maybe job postings for athletics, but it also gives you the development side. It gives you the operations side. It gives you even the event management side for the collegiate world. So having both of those as a resource to me is a great start. Now you can go, LinkedIn does post jobs, but sometimes I find LinkedIn lags a little bit behind on their postings. It could be, you know, if I say 3 weeks or something like that, right? But they lag a little bit behind. But LinkedIn can be used to find decision makers, right? So maybe somebody who is in HR for that particular company or business, right? It's a good way to take a deeper dive. But always knowing somebody is the best, right? Just as we talked about before, if there's a job posting for Philadelphia 76ers on Teamwork Online, if you know somebody within that organization that can take your resume and put it on the decision maker's desk, that's almost the best way to go. Because again, if you're looking at Teamwork Online, they're getting hundreds of resumes submitted. Like for my summer internship, I had about 423 resumes submitted for the summer. So it's if you can work your way, submit your resume and then work your way around through networking, it's a hustle and it's a challenge. But if you need to find a way, it's through that networking too.
So those two sites you mentioned at teamworkonline.com and higheredjobs.com?
Correct.
Excellent. All right. So listeners, those are two key websites you should make sure to check out. And on that, I definitely agree with LinkedIn. Again, since I'm not in the sports industry field any longer, but I am with my sales aspect of it and my marketing side, I need to be able to communicate with and find the marketing people within companies. So I utilize LinkedIn quite often the way, because you can email them through the site, or at least finding their name, doing the Google search to find out more about them. And I definitely agree. I have found not only LinkedIn, and again, listeners, this is more of the sports and entertainment side, but also if you're just looking for internships, there's a site called glassdoor.com, which specializes in internships and entry-level jobs for recent grads. So glassdoor.com is a great one. Another would be Intern Match. So the term internmatch.com, which specializes in internships and entry-level jobs for recent grads as well. youturn.com. That's a mentoring site, and you can ask them questions about going to internship interviews. Another is Coolworks, C-O-O-L, coolworks.com, which isn't for internships per se, but more for summer positions. And you, again, there could be opportunities there, both with entertainment, sports, or even businesses that have connections to those. And then, of course, never, ever underestimate the power of a basic Google search. Teams put stuff in there, but you can also find information about the teams and businesses that you want to look into and want to submit jobs for. And, of course, visiting the team, going those grassroots, John, going to the team's office or their website or emailing HR. I mean, you can't go wrong there by touching base and getting your name in there and asking, hey, is there anything available, or asking for what steps they would recommend as far as chasing down an internship.
You know, and Adam, there's a job description there, but you really never know what they're looking for. Right. So you could sit there and say, OK, this job description, I don't know if it fits me, but I'm interested in it. Submit. Right. Because it can't hurt, because you just never know what unique type of person they're looking for potentially. Right. Or your skill set specifically. So always apply.
You said it yourself that connection between you and Tom McCarthy is a college connection. I mean, how often are you, whether you communicated with Tom all those years or not after, there was a connection there that you may or may not have remembered or known about, but just utilizing and thinking about who you know that could be in that industry. It was very important and a great connection that wound up, of course, opening up a huge door for you.
Correct. And you know, the old adage, never burn a bridge. Never, because you may need to cross that again at some point in time.
It's true. Sadly, something that many people learn way too late after the bridge is burned and the mountain is torn down. And you learn that that's an adage that you learn, unfortunately, in life. Yeah. But great that we threw it out there now to pass that advice on to the young listeners. Mm-hmm. So knowing that and thinking about how much the industry has changed and the job market has changed, what impact do you feel social media, LinkedIn or Twitter, and even emails has had on the job search steps?
I think it's more of an education in those jobs. That's just like you were saying, that you can also learn through social media, Twitter, about a company, maybe their culture, how they brand, right? So that could help apply your skills to that company. And it could, once again, educate you for potentially, if you do get an interview, right? So I think that's more of rounding yourself off in an understanding of that position. Again, if you are in an internship, or if you feel that you're a fit for that company, I think that's a little bit of icing on the cake for you. I think that's an education process with the social media.
But of course, knowing how to use it to your advantage and being comfortable with it is also a definite benefit.
That's correct. I'm an older guy. So, you know, my skill sets in social media is more following than posting, right? But you're correct. For someone, a younger person who is looking maybe to get into that field, or again, to round themselves off, you're 100% correct. Yes.
And I think the listeners know that when Ryan and Nate were doing this podcast themselves, they would, their posts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I mean, they it helped them generate the thousands and tens and thousands of followers they have, communicating with athletes, both high school and college, and following other sites and getting them to follow you back and getting their listeners. It is very important to understand how useful social media is in reaching people in the industry and all over. And so never underestimate, just like never underestimate a Google search, never underestimate and discount your knowledge and abilities on social media.
Correct. You are correct.
So, John, you said you were going through your internship process. What skills, and I'm trying to carry this over to the industry, but what skills do you feel are most important in securing an internship? And are those same skills important in succeeding in the field? And I know that's a broad question, but what skills going into any field do you think that college students or recent grads should really work on?
You know, there's a couple things here, and I could talk a little bit about maybe the business lines and so forth that I need an intern to be successful at with our company, right? And sometimes I'll get interns who are looking, who may be sophomores, right? So they're starting to process out early, or juniors, where they may not have any experience whatsoever. And I think that's the most challenging and frustrating thing for a student looking to get an internship. Hey, how do I get that experience, right? To secure that internship. I kind of flip it a little bit. I look at their core set, meaning I'll look at a resume. If somebody did, it was in the service industry, waiter, waitress, right? I'll be able to pull certain characteristics out of a person. Being a waiter or waitress these days, it's very difficult, very challenging. Right. So they may have a good customer relations feel to them. Right. So I'll look for someone along those lines. Again, they've no experience yet, and I'm their first internship. And then the other one will be, I look back to sports. Right. If you could be a team player. Right. If you could be work with others, whether it's remote or in an office. So I kind of look to combine those things and get a feel for a person if there's really no other experience to work off of. And the other thing, which I find amazing, and I'm sure all the young adults are doing this now, is how well they communicate over remote and how well they speak and talk and able to hold a conversation via remote. We wouldn't have gotten some of the really great interns that we've had if we didn't have this remote option, right? It's a double-edged sword working from home, right? Not in an office, but we never would have found this talent if, you know, things didn't happen over the course of a couple of years ago, you know? But that communication, be able to talk, right, via video, which took me a lot of time because I'm an older person. I had a real tough time jumping on and being a part of this video world. And then those core skills with customer service, being able to deal with people. And the position we hire for can get frustrating at times. Are you going to pull through? Are you going to grind it through? And that's why sometimes I go back to looking at someone who played sports. So that's a little bit of the crux of the anchors that at least I look for.
That's outstanding. And you said the key word, communications, whether it be face-to-face, the ability to communicate via social media, but and also one of the key skills that I found when Ryan and his, again, fraternity brothers and his friends are doing these job and internship searches is the ability to write and communicate it with the written word, which seems to be almost a lost art. Many companies, I've seen the email responses from some of their resume and letters, and they say, you know, I don't think you have the writing ability. I don't think you have the writing strength that we're looking for. And even and these are basic internships, not necessarily trying to get into public relations or communication side, but almost every internship that they applied for that got rejected, it seemed to be the written word, the ability to communicate via the written word, and they're not having that strength. And I think that seems to be one thing I would say to all listeners, that's something you need to work on and practice and develop that skill.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is completely different, but they've done away, you know, with script writing. I don't know if it has, you know, handwriting and script and so forth. That's not even heard of anymore, right? I don't, you know, my kids are, my youngest daughter's signature is horrible because they don't do script anymore, right? So I don't know if that's all part of what you're saying, but maybe it's a piece.
It definitely is. I've found I can't write anymore. We just passed Mother's Day, and I have found just writing the 30 words in my wife's card wishing her Mother's Day is, I don't know how she can still read my handwriting. My ability to write, it no longer is strong. Right. I can communicate. I mean, my ability to type is great, and I know what I'm going to say, and I can say it on my computer, but I don't even have the hand strength anymore to write long anymore. And I think that's, that no longer occurs. Where do you write? You sign your name, you date something, everything's online nowadays, which is great. But really when I refer to writing, the ability to communicate and pass on information that you're trying to say, it's important both with the spoken word and your ability to type, not the abbreviations used in social media nowadays. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be more. It's got to be comfortable and flow with your ability to talk. And
your ability to Correct. It's a lost art, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. It's important. The listeners, I'm not saying for anything outside of just what I've seen so far as the young people I talk to, what they're discovering in their search. And you're going to experience it. So if you have the opportunity now, if you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, take a class, to take an online class on how to write, on how to communicate simple writing, whether you're writing a book or a paragraph, just getting comfortable going back to the basics on how to write to your boss, how to write to your coworker, how to write to a potential client. These are things that you're gonna have to have in your job, so you might as well start working on them now. John, I actually had another one, and it was funny when we used to work in when I used to work in sports in the same industry. I found, and I'm going to ask you if you think it's the same thing. Once you get into that job, once you're in the internship and you start, okay, this is working, but now I want to stay in the field. Do you feel the ability to move around, the personal ability to move around to different cities, different states, different teams, different companies? is important and necessary in advancing in the field?
I don't know. It can help, right? There's an importance to, if you're single, if you're married, there's a whole nother picture involved in that. But if you can go from one city, do the job you're in, do it well, then you're going to go and get promoted and go to another city to grow. Yeah, I think that helps. Because of the fact that it just opens your world up so much more to jobs, right? Area, because of the fact that I think the Northeast is a great educational region. Everything you need is here, as you know, right? But I believe if you look to go from maybe a box office manager to a director of ticket operations or something from, you know, New York to Miami, sure, if that opportunity is right for you, that can help you maybe go a little bit faster up the ladder than necessarily staying in one area. But, you know, our area here in the Northeast is great because we have so many teams, right? There's so much here. And I know folks who've gone from here out to Idaho or LA and places like that to grow, which is great. It's up to that individual and your time in life too.
It's true. That's true. And I guess it is, I didn't think of when you have that personal connection, whether your family's there, whether you're married, you may be restricted to such. But also now that with so much virtual, maybe there is less need to move to different places because we could be doing this anywhere. You could be Miami. I could be in Rancho Cucamonga, where I guess I mean that where Wayne and Jeff.
That's correct.
Mine came from. Yeah. So that I guess that is a key as well, that being able to do everything virtually. So now when the person gets the internship interview or gets that job interview, I want to take a few moments. And again, listeners, I'm not judging your generation, but a few of these things that John and I are going to talk about may seem very basic. It may seem as unimportant, but what I've discovered, and I'm sure John will agree, these are very important to take into consideration when going on interviews. So John, the first thing for the interview, when you meet with this potential intern or employee, their attire. How important is it to dress, to impress, and dress for the part you want?
I mean, it's first impression. It's everything. You know, you never know, again, who you're sitting across from. If you're interviewing with me, I'm an old school guy, right? You know, I know times have changed, right? If you're in a suit, tie, great. If you're in a dress shirt, I know times have changed. Hey, that's okay. And also your background's important too. What's going on behind you? I've talked to folks with internships, may have been in their college dorm, ooh, and it looked like a bomb hit, right? So your background is important too. So it's how you present yourself, because first impressions are what they are, whether you like it or not. It's reality. So, you know, at least being presentable, whether it's a blazer, dress shirt, best case scenario, dress shirt. But it's that first impression that can change direction at first sight.
You nailed something. I wasn't even thinking about a virtual interview. I was picturing, again, old school sitting across from the HR person. You're absolutely right. When you're on video, you should, your whole behind you, whether you have a clear space like you are in or like we have here, since I'm in the office surrounded by stuff we still haven't unpacked, blur out the background. Make yourself the main focus and something to look at.
Correct. Absolutely.
All right. So then, this second part, again, it may seem basic, it may seem unimportant to your everyday, not us, but again, the generation we're communicating with through this podcast, hygiene. And now you have girls, John, I got two
steps.
So my stepsons, and Ryan and Jason, don't take offense when you listen to this, but this should be an easy one, but it seems that it's not. Hygiene isn't, and I'm sure you've met with interns or employees maybe lacking. Well, what's your feel on it, John?
No, I'm going to say so far, I've been very, very lucky when it came to that. I've heard of stories, challenges, issues, how to deal with it. With hygiene, whether it's, again, on an interview or someone that you've hired, that things have developed over time. You know, I'll be honest, it's a little bit of a fear that there's a hygiene challenge. You should, you know, you always have to be aware of your surroundings, who you're working with. You all got to get together. You know, it's a team atmosphere. But I'll be honest, Adam, I never had to deal with that particular challenge. But I guess I'm lucky, again, through the process of bringing the right people in who can work together to get the job done with that same skill set and that same mentality that understood where they were. If I go back to, let's say, my Sixer days when we were all in an office together, right? And that's, you know, the other thing to get the same people on the same mindset and the same goals who are going to be working together, as you know, in sports, sometimes, at least in baseball, we were around each other more than we were around our own families during the summer, at least back in those days. It's changed a lot, but you'd need to find that right mix. And again, I've been lucky enough to not have to worry about the hygiene side. So I apologize if I don't have that answer for you.
Well, no, fair enough. I can share one interview I had. This was when I was working for the indoor football team in Trenton. I interviewed somebody who came in for a job, and they reeked of cigarette smoke. It was just overwhelming. And it was funny. He was everything we were looking for. Enthusiasm showed up to the interview, which back in those days didn't happen very often. And it was terrible. I had to make a call, and I'm happy to say I did hire him. Unfortunately, the hygiene issue didn't change. It actually got worse because we were working in the basement of our owner's office because we were just a start out club, and being surrounded by all that smoke. That it wasn't smoke; it was BO smoke, you know, permeating his pores. That was tough to deal with. So when I talk to hygiene listeners, I'm referring to more of, you know, you don't have to overwhelm with the Axe body spray. You know, just a little cologne. Just make sure your hair is brushed. Make sure your teeth are brushed. A little mouthwash. The basics. So when you are, if you have to go in person, you get the opportunity to go in person, not just video, which of course a nice hairbrush, a nice shave is going to present you as well here. But also when you're in person, it'll help you stand out more. They say that a scent is remembered more than an image. So having a good smell about you can only help you. And it's recommended. It's, again, something to start working on now, because come the time for the job search and the people you'll be working with, they're going to be looking for that. And you don't want that to be a negative at all. The another one, John, again, old school, but whether you're doing it virtually via Zoom or whether you're in person, what would you bring with you to prepare yourself? I noted down a notebook and a pen with, in that notebook, some questions that I like to make sure I ask the interviewer. What about you when you've met with these and talked with these potential interns? What would you recommend they have at the ready when they're in the interview process?
Oh, so coming in person, you're saying, correct?
Yes, yeah, we can do that. Okay. Or even if they're sitting on a Zoom call, what do you think they should have? Should the resume, a notebook, a drink, or is it what do you think is really good thing to have at the ready when you're interviewing?
So in person, always have a resume. Even if they don't need it, they may ask for it just to see if you have it. Always bring a couple of them. Don't just bring one, because you just don't know how many people you may interview with. If you do really well on an interview, they may say, hey, look, you got 30 more minutes. I want to introduce you to somebody, right? So maybe have three with you all the time when you go in for an in-person interview. Notebook and multiple questions. As they go through the job description, they may answer one or two of your questions, right? So always have maybe 5 to 7 questions ready to ask. always ask a question. Don't say you don't have any. Asking a question shows that you came prepared, right? And make it a logical question, right? Don't make it something that is not pertaining to what you're interviewing for, right? Maybe about the company. Maybe it's asking the person, what do they like most about their job? Or even what is their management style, right? Because what you have to also think of, you know, I know it's an internship, but you're also thinking, hey, does this internship fit me, right? Does this company fit me? That's probably the main ones that I can think of off the top of my head that are most important.
You had the same exact ones I had on my list as well. I don't even have anything to add to that. That was exactly, but the importance not only to ask the question, but which questions to ask and make it relatable to the company or person you're talking to. And another key aspect, again, falls right back to LinkedIn or Google search. You can find things about the company or the person that you can ask about. Maybe even if you go to their LinkedIn, you'll find something they're interested in, a group they follow or an association they're a part of. And just to make yourself stand out and connect with them, you can ask them about that. If they're a member of a public relations group or a fan of a sports team, or they follow a town they grew up with, and you can, and, hey, I see that you grew up in Trenton, New Jersey. Oh, wow, did you ever go to the Miami Club? And there, bang, there's your connection there. And maybe it takes it on a nice talk, or maybe it doesn't. But again, preparing yourself and researching always helps.
Yeah. And just again, going back to conversation, I may go if I'm interviewing somebody and there's a good dialogue, I may continue it, right? Just to get more information out of somebody, because sometimes I still even have a challenge of, you're going to ask, you're going to get asked questions about yourself, right? How do you answer them? Like the key ones, what is your strength? What is your weakness, right? How do you solve problems? And those are questions, at least I ask, because it pertains to the job description. So be able to answer those core basic questions, because they're going to come up somewhere along the line. And I think strength and weakness are huge, and just know how to answer them.
And that there's no wrong or right answer. It's the answer. It's a truthful answer and a comfort in delivering that response. So practicing with a parent or a friend before your interview, you know, again, what is your weakness? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, the big three. Be comfortable and relaxed when you're having that interview. But no, those questions are going to be asked. But there's no wrong answer. As long as you say, well, my weakness is I like to drink the blood of my victims as opposed to just burying them in the open grave and letting them answer. And the last
search, well, Google search. You can Google search answers too.
Yeah, good idea. And that one I don't recommend utilizing at all. The last note, and this is funny because when I was interviewing back in the time, and I even have these issues when I'm in the job I'm in now, I interview writers for the publication I work for. Be on time. And John, you and I touched upon this and before we got on the show was the getting to the place you have to be and being in front of the person ready to go, but on time and early if need be. Have you run into any situation like that where the person showed up late, or your feelings on a positive side, the person showed up early?
Showing up late just starts it all off on the wrong foot, right? You're already digging yourself out of a hole. I've done it where if I was going on an interview and it was local, I would go the day before. I took the dry run to see, okay, it's 20 minutes, it's 30 minutes. Okay, when do I have to leave? Now that's really old school, right? But you do not want to get caught in traffic or, you know, accidents. Yeah, they do happen, but leave yourself enough time, because if you do get there late, you really have to dig yourself out of a hole with your, you really have to come across even more so because of the fact that you're starting off on the wrong foot. But early, yeah, can't beat early, right? I remember Tom Coughlin with the Giants. If there's a 3 o'clock meeting, you had to be there at 2:55. If you're at 3 o'clock, you're late, right?
Absolutely.
So nothing beats early. Nothing.
Right. The moment where you can be sitting in the seat as your interviewer walks in person, and you say, take your time. I'm ready to go when you are. Or again, getting on the Zoom and being ready when they open up their site and they see that you're waiting in the waiting room so they can click it. It shows, again, enthusiasm, professionalism, maturity. And again, that puts you, those are check marks you want on your side, on the positive, not on the negative side.
And then you get there early, you can relax, right? You don't have to, oh gosh, I'm going to get there a minute before. Oh, right. So if you get there at least 10 to 15 minutes prior, you can relax. You're there. There's nothing else to worry about because you're in the present, right? So I think that's huge because you have to be relaxed going into these interviews, whether it's an internship or your first job or your fifth job, no matter what, right? You still need to be relaxed in yourself. So put yourself in the proper position to succeed.
Absolutely. Proper mindset and relax. And again, yeah, absolutely. You don't want to be rushed. You don't want to be worried. You want to be in the place. So John, we've covered quite a number of topics here, and I hope the listeners really got a lot out of this, and I think they will, because again, just the questions and inquiries I've gotten from Ryan and his cohorts in college, we've covered almost everything that they've asked me. So anything else you want to share, John, about internships or jobs or anything, any words of wisdom that you'd like to pass on?
Whether it's an internship or really any job, the search will be frustrating, right? It'll be a challenge, but you still follow your passion, grind it out, and you will get to where you want to be, right? If that's something you truly believe in, a position, you know, that you feel you want to be a part of or be in that position where you think you can succeed, and it doesn't happen, you'll have another chance. Right. It'll be frustrating, but it'll also be rewarding once you get there, because you'll know the challenging path you took to get there. That job will be even more rewarding to you. So it won't be easy, but you just got to keep plugging along. And you'll reward yourself by showing what fortitude you have in order to get to that position and get to where you want to go.
There you go. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, he's one of my idols, one of my favorite men. John, I want to thank you again for coming on the podcast today. It has been a true pleasure. As always, thank you so very much.
And you know, Adam, if anybody, my email address, if anybody wants to send anything, questions or anything, I'm happy to help. It's john@gosponsorship.com. So if I can help anybody offline, happy to do so.
He's that good, folks. I want to thank everyone again for listening. Make sure to follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. Remember, it's Quarantine Football with Nate and Ryan, but now we're going as Talking to People, a QF podcast. And make sure to follow the show so you'll be alerted to future episodes. And in addition, John, you can also reach me directly on Twitter at LoneDog71. Yep, LoneDog71. Also, enjoy the post-episode music brought to us by my other talented stepson, Jason Licht, and check out his other compositions on Twitter at JL_TuneAce. Stay safe, everyone. Let's talk again soon. Go Phillies.